Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Will Within podcast. This is your home for shared stories of hope, perseverance, will, and inspiration. Join us today as we share another story that brings to life the underlying beat of our lives. Consider us your virtual friends. Let's get inspired.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of the Will Within podcast. I am so excited today because I get to introduce you to a woman by the name of Kelly Sargent. This human ball of energy is exceptional. I met her in my 20s when I moved out to California, wanted to start a life, wanted to get into liturgical recording and all of that, worked in a company. This woman walked in one day and I was like, who is this woman? And she was unbound. You couldn't, she was like energy strike. So much energy, openness and giving. It was just amazing. And her story, her testimony is so moving. Child abuse all the way through to public speaking and having adversity speaking in public. She went to Toastmasters, overcoming that. You're going to love this woman. You're going to absolutely love this chat with Kelly Sargent that I did recently. So ladies and gentlemen, enjoy. Welcome, Kelly.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you here. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I need to tell you, Kelly and I know each other. We've known each other since our early 20s when we were vivacious young women. This woman's a spitfire. And just so you know, so don't get overwhelmed by her energy. She's amazing. I want to talk to you, Kelly, about your life's journey because it matches my podcast. In this day and age, with all negativity, I wanted to create a podcast that shared stories of hope, will, perseverance, and inspiration, and you match everyone. So can you tell us of your journey, where you are now, and your testimony?
Okay, well, my energy plus your energy, they should watch out for us combined together.
I'll just start with that.
Well, I was a happy young little girl, just loving life. And about the age of 8 years old is when I faced my very first challenge. And that was how to tell my mom that I was being sexually assaulted by my stepfather. That went on, and I was petrified because he told me that he would hurt me and hurt my mother. I can remember a time when he pulled out a gun and he pointed it towards me to intimidate me. So I was transformed from a happy little girl to a very frightened little girl that had everything stripped away from her at a very young age. And it went on for many years. I did tell my sister, but of course, finally I had the courage to tell her, but she didn't quite believe me. You know, young little girl, yeah, right. He wouldn't do that to you. But I was just going through life holding a secret. And in silence, I was trapped behind everything I wanted to be. All my big dreams and my hopes were trapped inside of me because I felt like I had to be quiet and I had to obey, or else something devastating would happen.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I am so sorry. My heart's breaking for you right now. It's just breaking.
Thank you, Regina. So that's the way it started for many years. And eventually I did find the courage to tell my mother because I heard them arguing and I heard lots of tussling and I heard my mother crying. And so I was upset with him and I said, you're not going to hurt my mother. And so I found the courage to tell my mother and immediately she called the police. Thank God. Mm-hmm. So she called the police and he was removed from the home. And there was a lot to overcome as far as that situation was concerned. But it was what began the downturn of my relationship with my mother. You know, she had just had a newborn baby with her husband, and he was my stepfather, and now she was divorced with yet another child to raise. I have there's a total of four of us. And so she was a single mom and struggling. So it was very difficult. Eventually, I ended up in foster care, and because I had run away from home, my mother didn't come and get me when the police captured me as a runaway. So I ended up in foster care where the son would crawl into bed with me. And I had the courage to tell my caseworker, who immediately removed me from the home. And eventually I found myself in a children's home. And while I was there and thriving, apparently one of the counselors saw the sign that I must have worn on my head because then he sexually assaulted me. So he was like the third person. And it was like a cycle of sexual abuse and
sexual
assault.
You must have felt that God was nowhere in your life at that time.
You know, I knew he was there because I could feel something deep down inside of me, but it was just too much pain that I was struggling through to be able to really connect with it. But I remember at that children's home when they removed the counselor, I remember speaking in church, having the courage to stand up in church and speak. And so I would find moments when I had the opportunity to reconnect with God and find and develop a new relationship. I did learn how to connect spiritually with my Heavenly Father. And it is what has been the source that has helped me drive and push through and overcome and fuel me and give me hope. And has just been grace and mercy to get me to where I am today.
Yeah, in our darkest hours, he's there. We know that we can count on him. We open the door and let him in.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember as a child feeling lost for so long, just always wondering, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, what's my purpose? That was always something that I thought, even as a child, and I always felt like even though I was going through so much throughout, you know, my younger years, there was always something deep down inside. And I describe it as that feeling deep down in my core, that knowing that I was born for something more. Yeah. And that is what's really helped me push through the obstacles that I faced in my life, because even though I was lost, I never gave up hope. I always tried to connect with my Heavenly Father because I just knew that I was supposed to do something special. I just didn't know what it was.
Footprints comes to mind, the whole image of footprints and him carrying you and hugging you and being there spiritually for you. It just means the world to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, just because this story, I'm just heartsick hearing about it, but you are such an amazing person and you've come through. I remember the first day you walked into the office and I said, oh my God, this woman is amazing. Who is this chick? Who is this woman? So for all the adversities you had, the spirit was always in you. I can see that. I can see it.
Yeah.
Tell me about in your 20s and your 30s and going to your Toastmasters and overcoming your adversities. I think this will be so moving to people. It's so inspiring.
Yes. Well, I did eventually go to college. I went to college and I ended up withdrawing from college because there was a military recruiter that visited.
Okay.
And I was going. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I remember not being able to afford to go and getting into debt because I was taking out loans. And so once when I heard him say 100% college tuition, I was like, yeah. So I joined the U.S. military. I joined the Army National Guard and I did basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And yes, that is where I learned a lot of structure. I was a tough cookie. The drill sergeants were really tough on me. And I never could understand why, but I later learned that they told me that they saw something in me. And so they really wanted to push me. I went in doing 3 push-ups and maybe 2 sit-ups, and I came out winning an award.
It was more than me.
It's amazing. They give you 2 minutes to do it. And I came out winning an award for doing the most push-ups and sit-ups in 2 minutes than anyone.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to brag, but she's like about maybe 110 pounds.
That's
she's like tiny.
Definitely not true.
Oh, come on. Back in the day, that's what you were.
Oh, back in the day, maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, she was a model. Let's just put it that way.
I did do some of that as well. But it was great being in the military. I ended up also winning an award as a sharpshooter and expert. We were required to be in the prone position with a gas mask on and fire at moving targets that were the length of a football field. And I hit 39 out of 40. And I love bragging about that.
You have a right to.
I'm like, awesome. Nobody, you better not mess with me.
That's so great.
But
so what made you decide to go out to Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, it was a tough, my mom and I, we struggled a lot and it was really a runaway again. I went with a girlfriend and we drove across country and we landed in Los Angeles. And that's where a lot of, my life transitioned there as well. I met my husband there and we had 2 beautiful children. And
by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, they are gorgeous, just like the mother.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And my marriage suffered some challenges as well. I ended up getting a divorce, and he ended up going to jail for a white-collar crime. So I became a single mom and raising my girls and just working in Los Angeles, juggling 2 jobs. I was always a hustler. And I remember just, I worked in the entertainment industry. It was all about lights, camera, action, red carpet, working for Sony Pictures Entertainment, just a lot of nightlife and partying. And that life became a bit wild and chaotic because I had to raise 2 children. And so I ended up moving to Houston, Texas, to escape the entertainment industry and trying to calm down and settle down and raise my 2 kids.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you want to ground yourself?
That's right. That's exactly right. You're right. I was praying for a way out and living in Los Angeles with all of just the industry that I was working in, it was impossible. I needed to remove myself from the environment. So I ended up moving to Texas with my 2 girls. We didn't know anyone. I knew 1 person, and that was the 1 person that told me that I should visit Houston. She said, Kelly, while you're in Dallas at a Mary Kay convention, you should check out Houston. And so I remember this was just while I was still living in Los Angeles, me taking a trip to a Mary Kay convention. And once it was over, I got on a plane and landed in Houston, rented a car and started driving. And I remember seeing Joel Osteen's church and getting so excited. I was like, oh my God, yeah. I love Joel Osteen.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I kept driving and I ended up in the suburbs, a town called Sugarland. And I loved it because it reminded me of Connecticut, the suburban lifestyle that I grew up in. And so I knew that I would love a place like that to raise my children. So I went back to Los Angeles. I found a place to escape. I put my girls in the car after, of course, doing some research. And we were in Houston, Texas, and we began our new life here. And it was
so. What did you do from there? Because I know you said there was still some struggles you were having in like public speaking. You were anxious about that.
Yes, it was my very first job that I had taken once I arrived in Houston, and I was an assistant to the a CEO. And one of my responsibilities was to take notes during our his management team meetings. And afterwards, he would go around the room and ask for people's input, and everyone would give their input. And sometimes he would be kind and invite me to give input as well, even though I was supposedly only there to take notes, and I would have input, but I was so afraid to speak. I was terrified. You know, every time he invited me week after week, it was very kind of him. I would never open my mouth, even though I wanted to, because I was petrified. I had something to say, but my heart was literally pounding. And it wasn't until after the meeting that I would share my thoughts. And never, just one-on-one was easy, but in front of a group was terrifying. And I wanted to do something about it. You know, I was beating myself up. And so I had heard about this organization called Toastmasters, and I made it my New Year's resolution to join.
How old were you at this point?
Oh, wow. In my 40s.
Well, okay. All right. Yep.
I was in my 40s.
We got all struggles all throughout life.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. And I joined Toastmasters, and I learned, I was in for about 3 months, and people were pushing me. They were like, you know, you should compete. You're so good. And I was like, no way. I'm afraid of speaking. And
I'm a good note taker, that's it.
And they pushed me, and so I started competing. And I remember writing a speech that was very close to my heart. I wanted to talk about my childhood sexual assault. I wanted to speak about it. And I remember giving the speech for the very first time and winning the contest. Oh, wow. But although I won the contest, people came up to me afterwards and said, wow, even though you won, Kelly, that was very difficult to digest. You might want to change it a bit because it was really, really heavy and made me feel uncomfortable. And so there were several rounds to this competition, and I tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it as I went along, but I kept winning and winning. And each level, people would say, oh, that's so heavy. And some people were surprised that I kept winning. They were like, oh my God, that was so heavy. So I just kept trying to make it a little bit lighter where it would imply that I had suffered sexual assault and how I had overcome it, but I wouldn't have to say it or describe it. And eventually I had won best in Texas, essentially, and I would be flown to compete in another country, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I was advised, whatever you do, do not tell that speech on an international level. You're going to have to find something new. The contest started off with about little over 32,000, and it narrowed down to the top 100 speakers to compete in Kuala Lumpur. And I had about 2 weeks to pull it together, and I kept trying to find another speech to write, but nothing resonated with me. And I felt like, you know what, God put this on my heart. Mm-hmm. And whatever's supposed to be is supposed to be. I'm just mm-hmm. going to do it because this is too stressful. And I said, I'm going to do it. And I went to Kuala Lumpur and I competed the first round, the semifinals, and every single person that went before me, they had this lighthearted, funny speech and they had the crowd laughing. And then it was my turn and I was petrified because remember, I was afraid to speak in front of an audience of 8 and now I was in front of thousands and I was so scared to tell this horrible story up next after everyone in the audience, they were having a great time. And I did it and you could hear a pin drop throughout my speech. It was crazy. And afterwards, I walked up the stage and I mean, people clapped, of course, when I was done, I walked up the stage and I sat down and I took off my shoes and I said, oh, thank God that is over. And I looked down at the contestants that were remaining and I said, well, I guess it's going to be one of you guys. Obviously it won't be me. This is semifinals. Mm-hmm. And they called, you know, third runner up. I mean, then second, and you know, the third place and then second place. And I'm looking and I'm saying, wow, those two were really good. Mm-hmm. Who could it possibly be? And then when they called my name,
I was so excited. You at that moment cleansed both of your hardships, both of the, I don't even know what the word is that I'm wanting to look for. It's just so, wow. It was just so cleansing that experience for you.
Oh, man. A gentleman.
God really opened up for you right there. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I remember a man grabbing me by my shoulders and saying, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I was like, wow. And then there was the second round, the top 10 of us for the last round competing for world champion of public speaking. And I placed second runner up. However, the significance there was that I was the only female to make it to that round.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it was
so
me
exciting.
And 9 other men.
Oh my God, that's
it
so exciting.
It was amazing. Yeah.
And you're the one that had the speech that really impacted people. At the end of the day, how empowering! How empowering! All those guys are like, "What do I do? Well, what do I say? How
well,
can I
actually,
beat that?"
No, actually, we had to give a different speech. It couldn't be the same speech, so to be a different speech for the finals. But what happened here was that being second runner-up, you know, I never expected anything to happen from that at all. But the fact that I was the only female to make it that far and compete against all those men, it suddenly I became, wow, the best female public speaker in the world, the only one on the stage. And so I was asked.
How many people, how many countries were people from? I mean, all over the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Oh, I don't know, over 200 maybe. I can't even remember. I have no clue, but it was insane.
I mean, it was a worldwide representation. I mean, we're not slouching. These are top of the top all over the world.
Yes, it was Toastmasters International Public Speaking, a world champion public speaking competition. It happens every year. Yes. And that was the thing.
Congratulations, Lady Jane. My little Kelly girl did it. She did it. She brought home the trophy. I'm so excited. So what happened after that? I mean, you must have been rejuvenated when you came back. Was your boss like, okay, who is this woman? I can't shut her up. Who's this woman?
I know. I received a proclamation from the mayor, and people expected me to immediately become this professional speaker. But I was still terrified because I was still insecure. But what I did was I began speaking for nonprofits. This was my way of giving back to the community. I just wanted to share my story of overcoming childhood sexual abuse. So I spoke to women's centers where the women there were they were women who had suffered from sexual assault, from domestic violence. I spoke to former prostitutes, former drug addicts, the homeless, people recently released from prison. And every time I shared my story, to see the people in the audience rocking in their chairs and crying and coming up to me afterwards and telling me that I gave them so much hope, that is when I knew I found my passion for public speaking. and being able to share, just to give a little glimpse of hope to those people who had faced so much adversity and who felt helpless, to let them know, I've been there before. I know how you feel. Trust me, there is a way out. Believe that. I just wanted them to just know it. Look at me, you know? And I would stand in front of them when I would start my speech, and I would say, what do you see? And they would say, successful, confident, professional, beautiful. And I would say, no. They told me I was coming to talk to women who had been this and that. They didn't tell me I was coming to a room filled with blind people. And I'd say, look again. And I'd say, you're looking at someone who's been sexually assaulted, who's been to jail, who has abused drugs, who suffered domestic abuse. And I went on and on and on, and to tell them, this is who I was, and this is who I am now, and here is what I did to overcome all of that adversity. You can do it too. And that is when I knew, not only did I find my passion, but I found a purpose. Mm-hmm. I finally found that purpose that I had been searching for all my life.
Amen. Oh my God, that's amazing. Amen. That's all I could say. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are the words that come to my mind. You are such an inspiration to me right now. I can't even begin to tell you. So who else have you been able to talk to, and do you do coaching? What are you doing?
Yeah. Now? Well, you know, having those credentials, I was invited to judge a pageant for Miss Texas USA. And I was the best female public speaker in the world. And so I was someone that they wanted on their judges panel. And that was an amazing experience. And I went from judging to eventually coaching pageant contestants. And they invited me because they did not want a pageant coach, a pageant, anyone involved with pageantry to help prepare these girls for the big national competition, Miss USA and Miss Teen USA. And at the time, I was president of my Toastmasters Club, at my employment for my employer. I was coaching and mentoring people in that organization who were trying to improve their public speaking skills. And so I went from mentoring public speakers to mentoring and coaching executives, to coaching pageant contestants, to helping people, interviewees, young girls going to college, and athletes. And I just built a coaching business, a public speaking coaching business. I became a communications coach. Mm-hmm. And that is how I built the foundation of my business, is from overcoming my fear of public speaking and learning how to master presentation skills. And so that's why I started doing what I do now.
Name some of the people that you've talked to, that you've told your story, that you've inspired people to overcome adversities. I mean, I guess I could name them, but I don't have it right up on my
name them.
Right now, but name them. I mean, you've talked at the Library of Congress. You've talked at the Pentagon, right? I mean, come on.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
I can't
yes.
tell you all these Fortune 100 companies that you deal with.
You're right.
Crazy.
Thank
Little
you.
Little Kelly at the typewriter is now talking to the Library of Congress. Amazing. She's
yes,
talking
I've
to the Pentagon.
Yes, you said it.
We're
going to
be seeing you at the White House next. You're going to be like the Secretary of State for you, so.
You're so funny. Yes, I've had the opportunity to speak to numerous Fortune 500 and 100 companies across the country. And I've been invited to speak at the Pentagon, by the Department of the Navy, and the Library of Congress. And I remember getting a private tour of the Library of Congress afterwards. And it was the most amazing thing. And while we were down in the archives, they surprised me, the tour guide, and he gave me my brochure from my speech and had me sign it. And he said, thank you very much for your autograph. You are now going to be in the archives, your speech
that's so cool.
in the archives of the Library of Congress. And I was like, wow,
Congratulations. That is so cool. That's really cool. Oh my God.
Thank you so much.
So much fun. So what do you plan on doing now? Moving forward. With the next part of your 50 years of your life. You're only 51. You're gonna live forever.
Yes. I know, huh? I wish we could. Well, you know, I love what I do. You know, I coach people, and you know, I call myself a communications coach, but people really, if I were to dig a little deeper, I'd probably call myself a confidence coach, because really I'm helping people find the confidence. Yeah, to build the confidence. Yeah. That's right. To be able to express themselves and to be able to just be who they are without feeling like they're not good enough, to just be authentically them and not to be concerned what other people think. As long as you're a good person, just do you, be you, and just help them embrace who they are and speak up for what they believe in and have that kind of confidence and being able to help people present in a way where they are the subject matter experts, or where they could speak from their heart without holding back and with being who they are, just having the confidence to do that. Just it feels amazing, because I remember what it felt like to have no confidence at all. And I think that's the reason why I do what I do and why I love doing what I do, is because it wasn't until I found my confidence that I was able to build up some self-esteem and feel a sense of self-worth and feel like I had something to give back to people, that I finally found happiness and a purpose in life. It all starts with having confidence in yourself. That's like the key to everything. Mm-hmm. People always say that communication is key and connection is key. But if you don't have confidence, you can't communicate effectively. And if you can't communicate effectively, you can't connect with other people. So the root of it all is just being able to love yourself. And in order to do that, you have to forgive yourself. And so many people suffer so much trauma in their lifetime, and where they blame themselves and they don't feel good enough. And so once you get over, you know, forgiving any mistakes and doing the steps that it takes, like facing your fears and giving yourself goals to achieve, and every single goal that you achieve, your confidence starts to build just a little bit, and you feel like you have the potential for something more. So you just try to do something else, and it just builds your confidence, and then eventually you feel okay. You feel like I have something worth something, and then you give it a try by serving someone else, by giving back. And then that person tells you how much you've changed them. And that's affirmation that, wow, you do have something to offer. So then you try again and you serve other people. And then eventually you just accept that I am worth something. It's just, to me,
that's
the key to everything.
That's exactly what it's all about. Life, that's what life is about. You are such an inspiration. I don't even know what to say. I'm like, my jaw is on the floor because
you're
of everything
so
you've
funny.
Gone through. I'm serious. How do people, if somebody wants to learn how to do Toastmasters, or wants to even just chat with you and try to get some coaching lessons from you for overcoming adversities, how would somebody contact you? Or do you have a website that you can send people to? Or
I do. My company is called Own Your Moment Consulting.
That's right. I'm snapping my fingers. That's right. I'm rolling my head. You do you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, start That's again. Okay. I'm sorry. Start again.
That's okay. So, OYM, Oscar Yankee Michael, OYM Consulting. And again, that stands for OwnYourMomentConsulting.com. That is the name of my website. But for anyone out there that's a Toastmaster, maybe, I have a CD and I also have a DVD that talks about a lot of the things on how I overcame my fears of public speaking and how to develop a winning speech. So I have something geared towards speakers, specifically Toastmasters. And other than that, that's how you reach me on my website.
Okay, so the contact information is all there as well. Do you want to give that email out right now?
Oh, sure. Kelly at OYMconsulting.com.
Oh, my God, Kelly, this has been so much fun. I don't think I've ever experienced an interview like this. And I appreciate everything that you are about. I appreciate your entire existence. So I can't thank you enough for being part of this. So Will Within Family. And I hope everybody gets something from this. I mean, I could sit there mesmerized listening to her. So thanks again, Kelly. Have a blessed day. And God be with you.
Thank you so much, Regina. God be with you as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Many thanks again to my dear friend, Kelly Sargent, for sharing that moving story. That's what this podcast is about. Sharing stories such as hers that shows that we all have the will within, not only to persevere, but to flourish. God's grace really does shine through the darkness when we actually allow ourselves to be open and receptive to God's grace. If you would like to consider sharing your story, I would like you to email thewillwithinpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's thewillwithinpodcast@gmail.com. I will be happy to speak to you and open to speak to you. And if you really like this show, I'd like you to hit that subscribe button for me. I know that's what somebody always says, but hit that subscribe button and leave a comment and I will make sure that I get back to everybody. I promise I'll reply, I promise. So until next week, my virtual friends, be blessed.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's Learn, the number 2, pray, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.